Our first presenter this morning is Joey Kennedy, the senior training instructor for Alpha Natural Resources. Joey is in charge of the Running Right Leadership Academy at Alpha and brings 15 years of experience to the program. Many of those years were spent underground in the active working section. Joey has also served as a mine rescue team member and continues to serve as the handler for Alpha Natural Resources search and rescue dog, Jenny. Joey has cultivated working relationships across the industry and now oversees the simulator training device at the Alpha Running Right Leadership Academy. He is able to make lasting positive improvements on coal miners while working one-on-one with them in a simulated environment where an operator is not exposed to real dangers as they build and hone their skills, but where those skill levels can also be deftly measured and raised. Joey attended Southern West Virginia Community and Technical College and is certified as an underground mine foreman in both West Virginia and Kentucky, a mine rescue team member, a West Virginia continuing education instructor, an MSHA Unlimited instructor, and is also a West Virginia certified EMT. Please join me in welcoming Joey Kennedy.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks today. Again, as Jim has already spoken of, my name is Joey Kennedy from Alpha's Running Right Leadership Academy. And this ain't going to work. There we go. I'll just use this. A little bit of my background. I don't have to do this slide now, Jim, because you've already done that for me. One of the coolest parts about my job is of course, the simulator training. You see the little girl down here in the corner there, Miss Jenny. She is a Dutch Shepherd. She's 5 years old now, and she's quite a work of art. She's really good at what she does, and when you have good partners like that, it kind of makes you look good at your job. So I really appreciate the fact that Alpha's provided with such a good canine. 15 years in the industry. I'll just go through that kind of quick. Here's a little video of the Running Right Leadership Academy for you.
The Running Right Leadership Academy is Alpha Natural Resources' state-of-the-art education and mind training facility. The 136,000 square foot campus, nestled in the hills of Julian, West Virginia, provides a place for employees and guests to experience hands-on learning using the latest mine safety technologies. Enhance electrical, welding, and maintenance skills in high-tech labs. Operate virtual reality continuous mining machines, roof bolters, scoop and haul trucks. Practice mine rescue and emergency preparedness training in a mobile command center. Learn the ropes of mining in a 96,000 square foot lab that simulates real mine situations and conditions. The Running Right Leadership Academy's mission is to develop the mining professionals who enable Alpha to fuel progress around the world. The primary focus is safety, and the experience is one of a kind. The Alpha Academy consists of four buildings, each designed to stimulate learning while creating an environment that feels like home. Seasoned coal miners, red hats, office workers, and industry guests can all learn and develop at the Running Right Leadership Academy. The experience starts in the class training building with 26,000 square feet, 8 classrooms, 2 labs, a virtual simulator studio, and a theater. Instructors teach technical skills, safety, leadership, and culture, and then use new technologies like 360-degree virtual reality simulators to immerse students in controlled conditions that mimic what can happen at the mine. Collaboration between students doing the work and virtual classrooms enable everyone to participate in solving challenging problems. Welding Building hosts 12 weld stations to train students on arc and MIG welding, methods used at underground, surface mines, and preparation plants. A 20-ton crane allows for maintenance training on mine equipment like a continuous miner, belt feeders, and track dozers. A 1,500 kVA power center provides mine power to operate equipment and to train. The Mobile Command and Emergency Preparedness Center building supports mine rescue and emergency preparedness training. There is also a mine rescue and firefighting equipment cleaning and testing room, as well as a compressed air cascade system to fill breathing equipment. And now for a preview of the Running Light Leadership Academy's crown jewel, a 96,000 square foot above ground mine lab that is designed to look and feel as much like an underground mine as possible. There are 8 20-foot entries and 7 20-foot crosscuts, and areas to simulate 40-foot and 20-foot deep mining cuts of coal. The mine lab is constructed to resemble a room and pillar mining operation with various stations, like a continuous miner with proximity detection, a roof bolter, a refuge chamber, a cascading oxygen system, and a feeder along with a conveyor drive. Participants are immersed in controlled situations, practicing skills like fire suppression and ventilation control to stretch their critical thinking and to become fully prepared in the event of a future emergency. The Running Light Leadership Academy is the first of its kind in the mining industry. To truly appreciate its scale and scope, you've got to experience it in person. You are invited to tour the campus and learn how you can benefit from the Alpha Academy. To learn more, call 855-DIG-RRLA, 855-344-7752, or visit alphanr.com. We hope to see you soon.
So that's kind of a quick rundown. We threw this slide in here just to kind of give you a feel for the way everything looks. Of course, to the far left is your main classroom building. That's roughly around 23,000 square feet. And then you have your weld lab there. And then the next building over with the Cedar Grove classroom is our mine rescue building. And then, of course, the big building is our mine lab. Through the doors so far, at the Academy, as you can see there, we've had 39,948 people through the doors since our grand opening. Pretty neat deal. 2,400 people just for tours. We do a lot of tours there. The people want to come in and see what we have. 9,500 people for meetings and 28,000 just in classes. So the 28,000 there consists of all students that we've actually trained there at the Academy. Now, some of those folks are repeat visitors. I mean, it might be a mind forming class and then come back for a continuing education class or something to that matter. We've had folks come from all around the world to see the Academy, and if you think you'd be interested in coming and seeing it, just get with me after the presentation, and I'll do my best to accommodate you there. Don't you love computers? Having a little trouble. No, it's. Yeah. IT guy's getting nervous, so. Do I look nervous? I'm not really.
Oh, Can you take it out of presenter mode?
I'm trying to close it.
Can we just go back to duplicate?
No.
Okay. We're back on. How about that? In these halls, we all know coal miners. They work different shifts. They're not like a lot of us that get to just go in at 7 or 8 or whenever it is we start and work our nice little day shift hours and go home. These guys are producing coal or either preparing to produce coal around the clock. And for many, many years in our industry, when it comes to annual refreshers, which if you know anything about mining, you know that's an important part of our deal. We have annual refreshers and classes continually to keep all the guys up to speed with all the new technologies and all the changes. I guess we could say that all of the regulatory agencies has put upon us in the last few years. So we try to accommodate the miner as much as possible. What we try to do is if the guys work on a what we call an owl shift, would be from 11 at night till 7 in the morning, we actually try to have their classes in them same hours to try to keep them on their schedule as much as possible. And the guys really seem to appreciate that, so they don't have to work an owl shift or a really late evening shift and then get up and come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, because then they're just dragging and they're not not really in the mood to learn, to say the least. What some other folks are saying about the academy, they're enjoying. The Attorney General's office said that it surpassed their expectations. George Fessick said it was clear that Alpha's taking the lead in mine safety. And Joe Main from MSHA, he said Alpha's set the standard for safety leadership in the industry. And then Kevin Strickland, the co-administrator for MSHA, said there's no doubt that he wants to bring all of his district managers to the Running Right Leadership Academy because they need to see what Alpha has established as a standard when it comes to safety. Setting new standards. You know, for years, I'm a mine rescue guy. Really enjoy mine rescue. And if you've ever, anybody here been to a mine rescue contest? Anybody here? So you know, in reality, my biggest complaint as a mine rescue team member is knowing that I'm willing to walk in a mine that's on fire. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I've chose that. But my problem with the whole mine rescue gig is that we get put in situations going into fight a fire that we've never had any kind of real training to go into. And what I mean by that is if you ever go to a mine rescue contest, that's nothing like what we would actually do at a coal mine. Absolutely nothing. It's simply learning a method that somebody sets as a standard, and it's just not real. So what we've been able to do here with the birth of the academy is to be able to bring our guys in, and not just our guys. I mean, we invite guys from, we've had guys from Consol, guys from Arch, all over the industry coming in and using our facilities for MERD trainings. And our mine rescue, anybody that's in mine rescue will tell you that they enjoy that kind of training much more than waiting on the BO to give them an advance or a retreat. To go try to breach a barricade up in number 4 heading on a mine rescue field. So I got a little video here. You see these guys are in in the what we call the situation room or the command center, and they're putting their plans together for the mine rescue teams. And while this stuff's going on there in the command center, we got a little video here that'll show you what's actually going on in the mine. Short little video, but just to kind of give you a glimpse of what we're capable of doing there. The beauty of having the fire that you've seen is actually produced by liquid propane. So if the gentlemen are approaching the fire correctly and making their advance correctly, we can actually start extinguishing the fire. But if they're doing it wrong, we can actually increase the flames. And all the while, it's in a controlled environment, so they're never in danger, so to speak. Okay, so that's a huge plus for us there at the academy, with the help of our fire training simulators, and that's kind of where I come into the game. I'm involved with the simulated mine, but I'm the senior training instructor for our simulator lab there at the academy, and that's kind of one of my focuses today, or actually my main focus, is to help us as an industry to understand that we need more training. We need more training. It's not something that should just be discussed. It should be something that we're doing. You know, we hear all the time, well, I would like to do more training. I would like to do this. I would like to do that. But until we put actions with our words, that's all they are, is words. The level of training that simulators brings to you is just unbelievable. First and foremost, you're able to put an operator in a situation to make them uncomfortable on purpose, and see how they react to that situation. And if they fail, they've not hurt themselves. They've not hurt anybody around them. We simply hit reset, and they get to try it again until they get it right. Now, I've lost brothers in a coal mine. I mean, I know what it's like to do CPR for 45 minutes on a friend. So it's real personal for me. I want people trained, and I want people trained right. 8 hours in a classroom don't mean anything if people are not putting their hearts into it. And those that are to receive the information, if they're not comfortable with that training, then it's most likely that they're not going to get anything out of it. So we really, really like our simulators. Immersive technologies have been instrumental in helping us really take our simulation training to the next level. This is our immersive simulator there. We have the CM360 cube that has the continuous miner simulator. This is just a little picture of the miner operator in action there in the cube. What's awesome about a continuous or any kind of simulation is that we can produce real results from simulator training. And I don't know why this is, and Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is really not something that folks have looked into in the past. You know, a lot of folks across our industry, they have simulators, and they kind of use it as an introduction to a certain piece of equipment, whether it be a continuous miner or a haul truck or whatever it may be. But never really have we used a simulator to say, okay, we're going to take this operator and we're going to put him through, or we're going to go and measure his skill level or his production level and then put him through simulation training and then evaluate him again and see what we've done. Have we really accomplished anything? Because, I mean, when you go talking about taking a continuous miner operator out of the face for 3 to 5 days, you know, mine superintendents don't really, you're not their friend at that point. You're just not, right? That's one of their key guys, and they really need them there. But some of the things that we do with our simulator training, as far as the training overview, is the trainer observation. So what I do is I actually will go to the mine site and watch the operator at the mine, and then I come back to the academy and I tailor a curriculum just for that operator. Whether it would be he's having trouble keeping the miner on centers, or whether he's having trouble with place changes, whether it's staying in the red zone too much, whatever it may be, we can really tailor the curriculum around that. And then we can come in and do our simulation training once it's targeted, and then try our best to meet that target goal that we're looking for, and then send them back to the mines. Performance data collected from sections 90 days prior and 90 days after. Now that's where, if we get a pat on the back, that's where we get it. Okay, from going there and putting all this stuff together and getting the production data together and looking at where the guy was 90 days before and where he is now 90 days after the training. Real production results. You set me up, didn't you, pal? Real production results for our simulator training. Performance measured as feet per shift with an average improvement of 12% on our continuous miner productivity. Now, across the board, that's huge, as you'll see down here. Based off the shifts in the 90 days following the training, increased feet per shift and profitability of the surplus production, the training investment yielded a return of over $900,000. That's crazy good, if you ask me, if I must say so myself. What we need to do as trainers in our industry is not just show up at a mine site and say, Mr. Superintendent, I'm taking your guys for 3 days. When you can go to them with these kind of results and say, listen, it's going to cost you 3 days of your operator, and you need somebody to fill that void. But I promise you, in a day's time, I'm going to pay you back with his increases. You know, that makes more sense than just saying, hey, I'm going to take him. So what we've actually done is we've brought guys in that say they're a shuttle car operator that shows a lot of potential, and we'll train them on, say, the continuous miner, and get them really comfortable with a continuous miner or shuttle car or whatever it may be, and then allow them to go back to the mine site and work with the management team to start getting them some time on that particular piece of equipment. Then we'll actually take the actual operator and pull him to the academy and do his training and allow the guy that we trained before him to actually step into his row and fill in while he's gone. So that's really helped to fill some of those voids that we've had also. So what does our continuous miner curriculum look like there? It's really complex, can you tell? No, I'm kidding, it's really simple. It's just set up in blocks, and it's really simple. And what I love about our curriculum is it can really be tailored to fit the operator. So this is an inexperienced operator, and this is a 5-day program. So you see, we would start out with some classroom talks. Anywhere you see the orangish color, that's actually a classroom event, and then the blue is a simulator event, and then the yellow is out in the mine lab that you've seen the video of, and then the beige or skin tone color is actually what we call a sandbox exercise, where we do things on the whiteboard like place changes and things like that. I know some of you might be saying, well, this is not relevant for me because we're a longwall mine. Now, this is just little old me speaking, okay? But I don't understand why we wouldn't be as safe and productive as possible on gate development. That's beyond me. If I'm going to have guys there producing for my longwall, then why not enable them to be as productive as possible? And simulation training has really helped us with that. Now, it's my understanding that a lot of the mines out west and even in the northern regions use full-face miners. Mostly we use place change miners for our gate development, and we found it to be, for us, it's been more productive. But this is just a picture of our inexperienced training program. It's a five-day deal. And then you see here, this is the more experienced guy, so it's really reduced down. And it's really just targeted on the operator. And this could be, as I was telling Jim beforehand, if it's just a simple issue that he's having, say he's having trouble keeping the miner on centers or whatever it may be, we can come in and bring him in just for one day and allow him to work just solely on that one deficiency. And then it could be he just needs some work on production. And if that's the case, it would be a three-day program where we would really just go back to the roots of operating a continuous miner and take him back through the process. And that's where we've seen our huge gains in production. Here's a upskill training. And then last but not least, non-production operators. You know, we have the owl shift, okay, the night shift. These guys get all the grief. They work harder than anybody at the mine. They keep us in the co. They're kind of like the unsung heroes of the co mine. They do all of our belt moves, all of our, all the things that needs to be done to make the mine go. Those guys are doing it. Here's the thing. They get zero training on the equipment that they operate. You know, they get their black hat, at least in West Virginia, and then we put them on a crew of guys, and we say, go move that miner in three heading. They don't even know how to start the thing, but we expect them to be able to operate it and be safe. That don't have to be. Now we can actually bring them to the academy, and this is just a one-day deal that teaches them the functionality of the machine, the remote box. So when they do go up there and that boss does say, hey, take that miner to three heading, they're not in the dark, okay? They know how to stay out of the red zone. They know what they need to do. Some of the things that our simulator also covers, man, if it can happen in real life, we can make it happen in the simulator. Broke torque shafts, conveyor boom failures, high methane events, left tram failure, low water pressure, right tram failure, pre-operational checks, and so on and so forth. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And you, as the trainer, have the ability to weight those events according to their importance to you or your company. So you see, like on the broken torque shaft, I have that, and that's my personal preference. I have it weighted at 5 because we seem to go through a whole lot of torque shafts in our conditions nowadays. And then your conveyor boom failure 3 and so on. Just another example of how we weight our errors. This slide is actually from a surface job in Canada. Kind of the same thing, Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we've done with the guys at Alpha. 90 days prior and then 90 days post-training, okay? So as you can see here, this was
operator, like an operator risk assessment and wear and tear on the machines and all these things. And you can see that post-training, the incidents just fell off of the map eventually. So
this stuff really, really works.
How can simulation training benefit you as far as production goes? We know safety is first and foremost in our industry, and if it's not, then shame on us. But after safety comes production, of course. And you can see here, we got different results. Everybody's different. That's what frustrates me the most about a trainer is you can put your heart into every man or woman that comes through your training. I mean, you can really give your soul to every bit of that. But at the end of the day, it's ultimately up to them whether or not they want to be better or not. So results is always going to vary, but we want to empower our people with knowledge. Knowledge is power. So you can see the differences here. Josh Morgan was an experienced operator. It was really neat to get to work with Josh because Josh was he was actually on the same section, the same crew I was my last shift as a continuous miner operator. So we was buddies, and we battled all the time trying to outrun each other. So to get to bring him in and evaluate him and work with him was really fun. We both had a good time with that. But you can see across the board, he had a 10% increase in his safety awareness and production. Joe Stafford was a little bit different story. His was a 7% increase. But at the end of the day, if we make a 1% difference, we're making a difference, right? But if you look at Mitch Hensley, I call him my superstar stud. You know, that's just mine lingo. But this guy came in and just blew the top off the place. 140% increase. So that's huge. So when you weigh all that stuff together and look into this, just another chart of how they done. You look all that, all the stuff that I've shared with you so far, and we got to be able to understand that with the simulation training that it assists in the big picture. I mean, we got to look past what we're doing today at the mine site. Especially with all the pressure that we have on our industry today, we got to look at the long term and we got to look at the big picture. Of course, it makes up for your time away on the production increases that we've seen across the board and provides tonnage increase in the long term. I've kind of touched on this already, but I want to reiterate it. My biggest challenge going to the mine sites is the guys just can't get past the time away from the mine, okay? So you're looking at a loss of production from that operator for 2 to 3 days. Cost of a motel there. We got some motels really close by that we put our guys up at if an overnight stay is necessary. But if you put it on paper for them and they can see it, it becomes real to them. Investment well worth your while. Mitchell Hensley here, mass cuts per hour, his ton per hour output went up 70.48 tons an hour. So that's huge. So if you put that in at the time, we was getting $70 a ton for our coal, $5,250 per day return on investment. So that's huge. So what are some of the operators saying about our simulator training? I hope you guys get a kick out of this video because I get tickled. I know some of you are sitting back there saying, where is this hick from, right? I got that southern boy slang and twang about my voice. So I was sure to, when I went and made this video, I said, listen, I got to find some guys that's more hick than myself to do this video. So I invite you to sit back and enjoy these accents, okay? If it plays. We're gonna play. Is there a reason, Mr. IT?
That's really sad. I was wanting you guys to hear these. No, it's, oh, there it is.
As a running right champ, you know, I want to thank Alpha in a whole as a company that gives us the opportunity of owning the Run Right Leadership Academy that has the continuous miner operator simulator that we can actually send our operators to be a part and to teach them to be safe and to teach them to be productive and to have quicker changes and from place to place and to stay out of the red zone. And I mean, you can't get any better than that when you have an opportunity to send your men to let them go forward and not go backward, but keep succeeding at their job and being safe. And that's the whole point in this situation.
Not only will the simulator be a great asset and a tool for our older continuous mine operators, it would be a great tool for our new mine operators to advance their skills and safety.
Yeah, I went to the academy down at Julian for the miner seminar. Didn't really know what to expect or what I could bring back to the mine to help me out improve on what I could do. But I did learn that the different ways to sump, you know, different ways to keep your boom swung, keep your buggy off of you, you know, it helps the buggy operator too from getting pushed around or whatever. But it increased times on your cuts, and I think it'd be real beneficiary for any operator to go through it, whether you've been on one 10 years, 20 years, or two. You're never too old to learn anything, so that's my opinion, my take on it.
Went to the academy for the miner simulator, and we went over some things. He showed me what I ought to do and how to run it, and after doing all that for the day, I come back here, tried it on the miner the next day, and it seemed to think it helped to help me wash the top and bottom as far as cutting wise, improved times by 10 to 15 minutes, and helped me keep the boom off the buggies, and I seemed to like it pretty well. It helped out pretty good.
Since both of my operators have been to the training facility, both of them have come back with a lot of good intel. It's helped both of them out tremendously on their move time, on their functions of the machines, learning how the machine operates, learning how to operate the machine better. It's helped them out on their production and everything all above, downtime and all.
The continuous miner simulator training at the Running Right Leadership Academy has been, it's been a real big help here at AMA. I'll give you an example. We have three sections here that have been in the top 10 in the company for over a year now. And I've sent experienced operators down there, and we've really got some good feedback on the training at the academy. This is one man here, Mitchell Hintz. He cut over 290 feet himself one day last week. Mitch, what do you think about it?
I think all your continuous miner operators that needs to go to the class, because there's always room for improvement and safety.
Guys, I urge all of you, if you spare the operators in to this training, you'll come out with a safer, more productive miner operator at your mines.
Please tell me that they're more hick than I am. Please. No, they're my buddies. I was advised that I need to go ahead and get through this. As always, I get long-winded and take up too much time. But some various reasons that we use the simulator training. Of course, cross-training operators from other pieces of equipment. Physical rehabilitation. We've used it for that. Safe practices training. Production optimization and equipment familiarization. Jenica Belanca is actually with us today, and she didn't know that I had her name on the slide, so I hope she don't sue me. But just a couple of examples. Arnold Shepard had a hand injury. He was electrocuted, and it really done some damage to his hands, and he lost feeling to the last two fingers on his right hand. And as a miner operator, it's really important to be able to operate the remote box safely and productively. He actually asked, could he come down, because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to operate it safely. So we brought him back down and retrained him, and he's actually doing really well, succeeding really well at his job. Miss Belanca, that's here with us today, she works with NIOSH. She's doing some, just to make it fast, case studies, I guess, with the continuous miner. Checking out my occupation, I guess you could say. So herself and another young lady, Brianna Eider, I think is her last name, came down and spent a week with me, and we just put her through the training program from ground zero all the way through. Her homework at night was I give her an old remote box, and she took that to the motel room with her to work on. So that was a really successful training. Mark Blankenship is a good example of cross-training. He was a shuttle car operator that they saw a lot of potential in. When he came back to the mine after our simulator training, it just so happened, it worked out beautifully for me, because the continuous miner operator was off that very Monday that he came back. So they was like, okay, it's your time to shine, right? So they put him in there. The regular operator was getting 10, 20-foot cuts a shift. This guy comes in fresh from simulator training, never running a miner before this, and gets 7 cuts of coal. So that's pretty productive. I mean, he wasn't up there with the normal operator, but 7 cuts of coal from a rookie on the first day on the job, I'm satisfied with that. And then Joseph Ellis. Joseph Ellis was a hoot owl, a maintenance electrician, and he wanted a job on production troubleshooting. So they give him that opportunity. But the crew started coming outside and they're saying, listen, if you don't get this guy off of the production shift, he's going to get killed. He's walking on the offside of shuttle cars. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So long story short, what I done was I brought him in, and he's an electrician, right? And I put him on our shuttle car simulator, and I just have him running back and forth all day. And by this time, he's getting frustrated, and he's like, I'm an electrician. Why am I running a shuttle car here at the academy? So I said, just keep running it, man. You're doing good. So about halfway through the day, he comes through the line curtain, and I got a little miner operator standing out in the middle of the roadway, and he hits him and kills him, right? So I said, dude, you just killed my guy. He said, it's not my fault. I couldn't see him. I said, you got it. Now, if you can take that back to the mine site and realize that you're that guy, they can't see you, stay out of the road. So you see where we can use the simulation training for that type of stuff also. I'm through. Are we waiting for questions, or are we doing it now? Doing it now? Any questions for me at all? Come on, don't make it this easy for me. Okay.
You mentioned that there were almost 40,000 visitors to the academy in the first 6 months of its opening. If you were operating the academy wide open, how many man shifts of training could you do in a year?
Oh, goodness.
Could you say, could you double that and say 40,000, 80,000?
Easy. We could do 80,000, yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, there any given day we have idle classrooms there at the academy. And each classroom, the normal classrooms, is going to hold 30 people. And then if you have bigger classes, we can actually, we have false walls up between literally every classroom that we have, so we can actually pull those false walls back and accommodate whatever needs you might have. Any questions as far as production? Production increases using the simulator? We, as a company, do not have a shear. I'm pretty sure there's shear simulation out there. Is that correct? Yeah. But I would encourage anybody that's in training to look into this. It pays big dividends. If you look at a 12% increase across our entire company, just through simulation training, I mean, my goodness, it's more than paid for itself. Anybody else?